We're continuing our study in the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. This is our last study in this particular series. And this morning, I wanted to spend time specifically talking about the Holy Spirit in missions and evangelism. The Holy Spirit as the director, the superintendent, the one that governs and guides in every aspect of missions and evangelism. Look with me at Acts chapter 13, verse 1. It's here on your handout if you'd like to refer to it. Acts 13, verse 1. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." And then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. Here in this particular passage in Acts, you see the Holy Spirit specifically calling Barnabas and Saul to the ministry. He says, separate these two people, Barnabas, Saul, for the work of which I have called them. The Holy Spirit specifically giving the church these two people. Separate them. These people who are such a critical part of your body, separate them. They are going to go out to another region, to another area, for a work to which I've called them. The Holy Spirit overseeing missions. The Holy Spirit overseeing church planting. Reverence Bible Church isn't here because we just thought it would be neat to have a church here in this particular area. It was God directing these things over a period of time, calling us specifically here. We didn't know how the church was going to work out. We didn't know the details of how everything was going to occur. But specifically, the Holy Spirit called us to this. And we see the Holy Spirit working and specifically bringing us as God's people to go into different regions, as Derek and his family are going to be doing, as the Gammies left recently and are serving in the same area, as we have missionaries, Kelly and Andre, who are in Romania, or Joey and Mihaila, who are also in Romania. Missionaries that get called out, sent to other areas for a specific work in which God has called them to. At the same time, short-term trips where God specifically calls people to go to different areas. Kelly Schwartz is going to be heading out to the Netherlands this upcoming week to teach children there of the glories of the gospel. We'll be taking a trip about a year from right now to Uganda, maybe some neighboring areas, to preach the gospel, to bring glory to his name in a far and distant place. But we see specifically the Holy Spirit guiding and directing every part of it. I think of a trip that I've shared with you before on, and a trip that I was making as far as going to Sudan. I had the opportunity where we were going to meet with the president of Sudan. He was going to show us that he really isn't, causing a genocide to take place in South Sudan. Show us that things were okay in that particular region. And so I ask, in my mind, I'm thinking, how could Christ and him crucified be preached in Khartoum, one of the most fundamentalist Muslim areas in the world? Sharia law rules that area. How could the gospel go forward? How could it be preached? How could we get a huge crowd together and just share the gospel with these people? That's how my mind was working. I'm picturing Khartoum. I'm picturing, you know, this area of so many unreached people. How could the gospel go forward? And I was thinking, I thought, soccer. You can fill a stadium with soccer. I mean, you go anywhere in the world. You have soccer, fill a stadium. And so I thought, let's ask them if we could bring a Christian professional team to play their national team. Why not? So I went and asked the president of Sudan, you know, could we bring a Christian professional team to come and play against your national team? And his response is, you are most welcome. And so I took that to mean we could do it. And we went and God orchestrated putting together this team of all-pro guys from 8 different countries, all Christians, to go and play. And we played in Mozambique and then South Africa, and then we finished with playing in Sudan against their national team and then one of their top pro teams. And I watched the Holy Spirit orchestrate all the events, bringing this team together. Number one draft pick from MLS signed up to go. Number one draft pick from MLS the next year had signed up to go, and at the last week said, no, I'm not going to do it. The team was phenomenal, though. I mean, it's just far as quality players that were believers. God brought this team together. We went there, and we played in their national stadium. There with a stadium filled with so many people, live television, live radio, satellite TV that covered all of Africa, Middle East, Western Europe, and parts of Asia, aired in Arabic to where the majority of the audience was supposedly over 10 million people and was almost entirely Muslim. And we went and I said, you guys, I have no idea. No idea as far as how the gospel will go forward in this. It may be that they just know that we're Christians, and you knock someone down, you pick them up. You don't throw your hands up. You don't yell at the ref. You play to the glory of God, smile on your face, loving the people. But if the opportunity comes for the gospel to go forward, then we'll take it. Let's just pray that God gives us an opportunity for the gospel to go forward. And you look and you think, well, how is that going to happen? And I know that there was people that were like, soccer? We're going to fund a soccer team to go to Africa? How does that missions work? Well, there, right before halftime, there was a gentleman that came up to me. He said, are you one of the coaches? And I said, yeah. And he said, I know what you're trying to do. I'm a Christian. They don't know that, but I'm one of the reporters here. I'm a Christian. And if I give you the opportunity to do an interview at halftime, would you preach the gospel on our national television? How does that happen apart from the Holy Spirit guiding, leading, directing, making things happen perfectly in accordance with His will? It wasn't by chance that I grew up playing soccer and did these international trips and missions as a young child, and then this opportunity came up. God used all of these things to bring about His purpose, to bring fame to His name, to glorify His name, to have the gospel go forward, that people would be able to hear with clarity the gospel of Jesus Christ and believe upon Him. The Holy Spirit orchestrating these things. And we preach the gospel. Amazing thing is the team, we tied, by the way, which was politically correct. We could have beat them. No, they were actually really good. But we tied the team. And the team, on the way home, we shared with them in the bus, this is how the gospel went forward. I and the team captain we preached the gospel with clarity. We had our translator do it so we know that it came across properly. And it was live television. I mean, God orchestrated it to where the gospel would go forward. And we looked at that, and the team one of the sweetest times of my entire life to listen to this entire team singing at the top of their lungs worship songs as this bus continued back to where we were staying. because of the great things that God had done. A year later, we went to Darfur. And we looked and we thought, okay, let's put together this team to go to Darfur. Steve Wolf was over there at the time. He had been there for several months. And we looked at him and we said, well, we'll just go to the refugee camps and just preach the gospel every opportunity that we have. We have no idea where we're going to go. We have no idea how it's going to happen, but let's just go. We'll preach the gospel wherever we can. If it's just to a classroom of kids, we'll do that. If it's to a group of people someplace else, we'll do that, wherever the opportunity comes. And we arrived there. We got into the hotel, or we got to the airport there in this little tiny airport in Darfur. It just so happens that the top professional soccer team had arrived at the same time as us on a different plane. The coach that was there, I knew, had government leaders that were there, I knew from the year before. And we stopped in the airport, and they said, what are you doing here? And we said, we're here to share the love of God with the people in Darfur. I said, what are you guys doing here? And they said, we're here to play against the top professional team in Darfur. We brought our team. We're going to be in the stadium tomorrow night. It's a huge thing taking place. And I said, they saw Eddie Roman, who was with us, who was a former pro BMX guy. We said, we brought Eddie, he's got a bike, he's going to do tricks for the kids. And they said, would you do our halftime show? And I said, well, yeah, but only if we could tell the people why we're there. Then they said, you're most welcome. So the stadium was filled with over 20,000 people. We're there, it's all men, all with their Muslim dress on. And we're there, and Eddie's doing his show tricks, jumping over people, doing flips, all kinds of stuff. The people are cheering. They've never seen anybody ride a bike like that. But as I'm telling them who Eddie is and what he's doing, we are sharing the gospel with these people. Every time the name of Christ was mentioned, there were thousands of people booing in the stadium. And we were looking and thinking, God, we are going to finish this because you have called us to this. How else could it happen? But as soon as this is over, we're out of here as fast as we can. But the gospel went forward in this stadium. Here Eddie is, just he likes to ride bikes. He's a little kid that probably got into a lot of trouble, but just did BMX stuff, pro BMX guy, rode his bike. But God had orchestrated that from the very beginning to use it to bring glory and honor to his name, specifically to reach this group of Muslim men that were there in Darfur. Called us to it. Orchestrating the events, the Holy Spirit doing something that we had no control over. We didn't know how it was going to occur, but he did. See, the Holy Spirit is in charge of missions. We went to Romania, took a team to Romania. We're going to go visit our missionaries in Petrișan and our missionaries in Volcea. We arrived in Volcea, not knowing exactly how ministry was going to take place. But it just so happened that on the same days that we were there, on one of the days right in the middle, was a total eclipse that would occur in the middle of the day. And Volcea was the one city in the world where you could see it completely. And we thought, great. We didn't realize that literally hundreds of thousands of people were coming into Volcea at that particular time. And we just did street witnessing the entire time, preaching the gospel at every opportunity. God orchestrated these things. And I got to tell you, I thought, okay, big deal. When they tell you, there's an eclipse out. And you go and you're not allowed to look at it. But it's like, you think, it might be kind of cool. This was amazing. I mean, it was in the middle of the day and it just turned dark for a few seconds. Picture of just what might have occurred at the cross. But you look and you think this is God orchestrating these things. Orchestrating who you come in contact to, who you're ministering to, where you're supposed to go, how the gospel goes forward. The Holy Spirit is him who orchestrates all of these things. You see that he says, I have called specifically these people, separated them for the work to which I've called them. And having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and they sent them away. And the gospel went forward. You see, in Acts chapter 20, verse 22, and see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy in the ministry to which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. The Holy Spirit takes him and says, you're specifically going to go to Jerusalem. I'm not going to tell you what's going to happen to you in Jerusalem, only that chains and tribulations await you. But at the same time, puts within his heart, you're going to go and don't have these things move you. Don't count your life dear to yourself. Finish your race with joy. Preach the gospel. The clarity of the gospel, the greatest news that we could ever bring to anybody. Go and preach the gospel in Jerusalem. I'm drawing you. I'm taking you to this place. And God does that. You look at the history of missions. What has occurred over the years, whether it be William Carey or Livingston or Adoniram Judson, this missionary that went specifically into the area of Burma, felt called to go specifically to that area of Burma. And when I was there, just listening to the people, how did you guys become Christians in this little village that's here? How this entire people group, the Karen or the Chin, how do these people become Christians? Judson came and he preached the gospel and established churches, and this is the result. And these people are under such severe persecution, but Christ is glorified. I went to this refugee camp where there were so many of these people that were there, and went from classroom to classroom. And every classroom I went to, they would sing songs, and I would say, can you interpret what the songs are saying? And it was songs just bringing praise and glory and honor to Christ. So they knew without any doubt the clarity of what the gospel message was. And it was God that called this specific person to go to that specific area to accomplish his purposes. There's a doctor, Jumatine, and his wife, Elizabeth, both doctors, up in an area called Mitigo, Uganda, just a few miles south of the border of Sudan. One of the areas that more than likely we'll go to next year. Here, this doctor's there with his wife, who's a doctor. They've established this medical clinic in an area that's 95% Muslim. But it's the only medical center anywhere for hundreds of miles. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles. And you look, and the gospel goes forward. There's a church that's been established. Every person that comes in hears the gospel. God specifically calling him to that specific area to accomplish his purpose there in northern Uganda. God orchestrating these things. The Holy Spirit, the superintendent of all these things, no matter what happens, I've called you to this that you might finish your race with joy. Specifically for us in evangelism. You may look and think, I get so nervous to share my faith with people. Wasn't it good to know that God is sovereign? He's in control? That he'll open doors for you? And sometimes supernaturally in a way that is so clear as far as like what took place in Africa. But other times it's just the daily preaching Christ and him crucified to people that you come in contact with on a regular basis. Look with me at Acts chapter 8 here in verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and he went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, a great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, had come to Jerusalem to worship. And returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him, heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this. Quote, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? And then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found in Ozidus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. The Holy Spirit specifically guiding evangelism. He had prepared this particular man's heart for such a day as was to occur right then. He did it. Here's this man sitting in his chariot reading, just reading. It happened to be in Isaiah. It happened to be specifically talking about Christ. And so you look here, and it's just absolutely amazing to be able to see what God has done. Here he is sitting there, and God says, Philip, go to that chariot. He runs, eagerly runs to there. And you see God orchestrating every event, and the guy comes to salvation. Isn't it good to know that in the midst of all the ministry that God calls us to, it's the Holy Spirit who is directing and guiding and leading in these things. That He is sovereign, that He is in control. I love that. I love the fact that we could pray in advance. Lord, prepare people's hearts. Take us exactly to the people that you desire for us to minister to. Our job is to share the gospel. Our privilege, our joyous privilege, is to preach the gospel. And then watch the fruit come in as a result of God. I've never won a single soul for Jesus Christ. It's always the Holy Spirit that does it. It's not your words or my words or our cleverness or our ability to articulate things perfectly. You could put together a phenomenal presentation of the gospel, but it's the Holy Spirit that works in their heart, draws them to Himself, changes them, makes them who were blind able to see. It's God that accomplishes these things. And so we are totally and completely in dependence upon Him to bring glory and honor to His name in missions, in evangelism. You know that to be the case. There's much debate that goes on within the church over the area of the sovereignty of God. And yet, every one of you as believers, you believe in the sovereignty of God. Specifically in the way that you pray. Do you pray for God to save people? Do you pray for people's hearts to be changed? Why do you do that? Because you know that God can do that. In your particular life, do you ever say, I figured it out. I worked real hard. I did my part, and then, you know, God did His part. We're partners in this. No. You pray like this: God, thank you for saving me. You did it. I was blind. I didn't want anything to do with you. And yet, look at what you did. I would have been like the person that was running away from you. But God, you saved me. You had that person come and share the gospel with me. Or you took me to that particular passage and I read it. Or I went to that church and I didn't know. I mean, you did something. You changed my heart. You brought me up in that specific family, where at that particular time, the gospel went forward and I believed. God, you did everything to bring me to salvation. We're not partners in it. You did it. When you're on your knees, you believe in the sovereignty of God. When you're in prayer, you know that it's God that did it all. All glory and all honor, it all belongs to Him. And so we look at that and we say we're dependent upon Him. Let's look at a few verses that deal specifically with that. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. You know that in and of yourself, you would never have gone after the things of God had not God done that in you. They're spiritually discerned. He made you able to see. He drew you unto Himself. No one comes to the Father unless he's drawn by Him. Romans 8:7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are of the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. In the flesh, impossible to please God. But rather, it is the Holy Spirit that orchestrates the events that occur. We depend upon Him to change hearts, to win souls. We depend upon Him. 2 Thessalonians 3:1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you. We pray. We pray, God, have your word go forward. When Kelly Schwartz is in the Netherlands next week, have your word go forward. We pray, God, that you would work in the hearts of these kids and bring them to salvation. God, do this. When you look at some family members and you're saying, God, please save my brother, my sister, my mom, my dad, we pray, God, have your word go forward and change them. Have it be where you work in their hearts. You make them able to see. I cannot do it. I could give all of my words to them, but their hearts are so hard. God, please soften their hearts that they might believe. It is the Holy Spirit who orchestrates all evangelism and all missions. I love that. I love the fact that we can go out and it's not based on how great our program is. It's not based on how well we articulate every detail. It's based on God accomplishing His purposes. I was listening to a sermon this last week, and the pastor said that he was talking with a girl that said that she was walking down the beach and there was several guys that came walking by her. They looked at her and one of the guys said, "Praise Jesus." Now, I think that he was maybe talking about her beauty of some sort. But she said, "That was it that saved me." All of a sudden, what went through her mind is, I need to praise Jesus. Now, God surely had been working in her heart in a number of different ways prior to that, but finally brought that person to salvation that particular time. We could probably go around this room for the rest of the day, the rest of the week, and listen to each of you tell us how God saved you. Specifically, working in you. A story of God orchestrating all of the events, all of your circumstances, whatever it was that God had placed in your life to bring you to salvation. And it may be this morning that you are here as an unbeliever, and God has orchestrated this day to cause you to see that the only way that you could ever be forgiven of your sins is through faith in the work of Christ on the cross alone for you. Your sins placed upon Him on the cross, His righteousness placed upon your account. He died and He rose again for you. And the Holy Spirit is fully able to work in your heart and bring you to a place of salvation. He orchestrates events. He brings you to a place of saying, "And whom can I turn besides you?" Nobody speaks like that apart from the Holy Spirit orchestrating the events and changing hearts. Only God does these things. I love this because it guarantees success. Guarantees success. We never go on a mission trip and come back and say, "God did nothing on this trip." It's never happened, not once. Regardless of whether or not we've seen hundreds or thousands of converts, we know that God brings people specifically there to hear the gospel. He accomplishes His purposes. Look at a couple verses here. Acts 18, verse 9. "Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. 'Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent, for I am with you. And no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city.'" And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Don't be afraid. I have many people that are in that city. I think of this verse when I'm in some little village there in Africa and I'm listening to someone on our team share the gospel. I'm looking at the faces of the people and I think, huh, God has many people in this city. He's brought us to this particular point to share with them, and it's God that does the work. Acts 13, verse 47. "For so the Lord has commanded us, 'I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth.' Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region." Amazing when you think about missions, and you see that God works in people's hearts, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life from the very foundations of the world, they believed as the gospel went forward. What excitement there is to preach Christ and Him crucified. I love it. There's nothing I would rather do than to share the love of Christ, the cross, a sovereign God who's accomplished all these purposes, to tell people about the wonders of our God to the uttermost parts of the world. It is the most glorious thing that you can ever do, is to do that. And then to watch God work in people's lives and then just sit back and say, "And all the praise and all the glory, all the honor, it goes to you. You are the superintendent, the director of all of missions, of all evangelism. We just get to be a part of it, and it is glorious. It's praiseworthy. It's the most exciting thing that we could ever do, is to be able to tell people about you and know that it is you who are drawing us and giving us the words to say." Isaiah 55, verse 11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." To preach the gospel, to share the word of God with people, and let Him accomplish all things. Can you see in Scripture that God is in charge of missions? He's in charge of evangelism. We get to be a part of it and watch God work, dependent upon Him, giving all the glory, all the honor to Him, not being afraid as far as what might happen to us, but know that God's going to accomplish His purposes. I hope through our series here on the Holy Spirit that you have come to a place of appreciating Him, where it will cause your heart to praise the Lord, that has brought you to a place of depending upon Him. In every area of your life, in every area of ministry, depending upon Him. Depending upon Him. I pray that you've come to a point where you understand the office of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, that it might have an impact on your life. And as you pray about signing up for our next trip to Uganda, or to Romania, or to wherever else it is that God calls us to, that there would be great confidence, not in your ability, but in His. Will you pray with me? Lord God, we thank You for being there to guide and direct us. You give us confidence that You're in control of all things. But more specifically this morning, we thank You for calling us. You called us with this holy calling and You changed our hearts. You made us able to see. You made us who were dead alive. Only You can make dead people alive. And You've taken us from being in a place of being spiritually dead to alive in Christ. We're thankful. I pray that as we worship You, that the fruit of our lips would reflect our praise towards You. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.